May I speak as a dying man to dying men. We have looked into the first part of the petition of the Lord's Prayer, the last of those petitions, the sixth of the petitions. And the first half of that petition is negatively expressed. Lead us not into temptation. God is leading us, we who are his children, and he's leading us throughout our life. And if we welcome to a place of severe testing and temptation of God, where he has brought us, it is he who has brought us into the temptation, to the place where we are tempted. Now, this prayer is that God would spare us from being tempted. And when we are tempted, that he would keep us from entertaining the temptation and yielding to the temptation. For yielding is sin. And not to yield, though tempted, is not to sin. Now, if we do not think that God leads us throughout our life and leads us through the valley of the temptation, the deep, dark valley of the shadow, where we are often tempted, we are in error. We make a mistake. It is God who leads us everywhere we go, even through the valley of the shadow. This is what Scripture says. This is the power of God. Now, that is the first part of this petition. The second part of this final and sixth petition is expressed in a positive way. And here it is. But deliver us from evil, as we cannot be tempted without the will of our Heavenly Father, so we cannot be delivered without his power. So we ask him to deliver us by his power from yielding, entertaining sinful thoughts and desires. The Larger Catechism expresses it so well, I will read it again, though it is a long section to read. Hear carefully what the Catechism does say. In the sixth petition, which is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, acknowledging that the most wise, righteous, and gracious God, for divers holy and just ends, may so order things that we may be assaulted, foiled, and for a time led captive by temptations, that Satan, the world, and the flesh are ready powerfully to draw us aside and ensnare us, and that we are even after our pardon of our sins, by reason of our corruption, weakness, and want of watchfulness, are not only subject to be tempted, but forward to expose ourselves unto temptations, but also of ourselves unable and unwilling to resist them, to recover out of them, to improve them, and worthy to be left under the power of them. We pray that God would so overrule the world and all in it, subdue the flesh and restrain Satan, order all things, bestow and bless all means of grace, and quicken us to watchfulness in the use of them, that we and all his people may by his providence be kept from being tempted to sin. Or, if tempted, that by the Spirit we may be powerfully supported and enabled to stand in the hour of temptation, or when fallen, raised again and recovered out of it, and have a sanctified use and improvement thereof, that our sanctification and salvation may be perfected, Satan trodden under our feet, and we free, fully freed from sin, temptation, and all evil forever. So deliver us, we pray, from evil. Now, the one who carries about him so much flammable material does well to stay away from the fire that might ignite and set it ablaze. If you get too close, you're very flammable. You may burst into flames, into the fire. And who can deliver you? Only God, our Father in heaven. Cry out, Father, deliver me, deliver us from evil, from the evil. There is a definite article expressed in the Scriptures, not always translated. So the evil here is what evil? Well, it's the evil that we call sin. And that may need to be said because people have other ideas. The evil of sin, or it could be the evil one. That is a possible translation. Now, some have thought it to be the evil of afflictions. And this may be included. I don't deny it. But it is primarily the evil of sin. Afflictions cannot hurt us. No. Yes, they're very painful. Yes, they're very trying. God is with us in our afflictions, so they will not harm us. They will not ultimately hurt us. Others believe it to be the evil one, the devil, that is spoken of here. And certainly this should be included here. And we are to pray to be delivered from Satan's power. But the evil one tempts us with what? With sin. The sin. So we're to understand evil here to be primarily sin. And then the evil one would be included. The one who does lure us and seek to cause us to fall and trip us up. I read from John chapter 17, and the verse is 15 of the Gospel of John. Excuse my voice. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Jesus prayed for his own apostles. And others as well, who would afterward follow the apostles. He doesn't pray that God would take them out of the world. Maybe that's what you want, but it isn't what God wants. He wants to leave you here and lead you through this world. But what does he pray for? That God would keep them from the evil. What is he praying for? that God would keep them from the evil of sin. The evil of sin is the worst of all evils. It is worse than afflictions. Now, many complain of their afflictions, but very few seem to complain of their sin. God promises to be with us in afflictions. But sin does what? Separates us from God. He will not hear us. God will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our hearts. I'll read to you what God's word says. It is very plain. Psalm 66 and the verse is 18. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin, you see, is the worst evil in all the world. Worst than your affliction. You see, affliction produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness into those who are exercised by it. That is a good purpose. Maybe not the only, but one of the reasons why God brings affliction. And we need to learn to walk very carefully and learn that we might be able to bear the peaceable fruit of righteousness when God tests us, exercises us by affliction. Sin, on the other hand, always brings reproach and remorse and shame and condemnation. There's no peace for the wicked, says Isaiah 57 and verse 20 and 21. Well, let me read to you again, Isaiah 57, where we read these words. At verse 20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. No peace to the sinful, to the wicked, who walk in sin. You see, sin is the worst of all evils. It's worse than death. Yes, death is something we dread. It's an unnatural event that God put into the world because of a judgment upon sin. But even in death, he will go with us, leads us beside the still waters, into green pastures, leads us into the valley of the dark shadow of death. Many dread death. Few seem to dread sin. Death hurts us only because of sin. Well, let me read to you again from God's holy word as it's found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. If I can find the place. And I pick up in that chapter at verse 56. Well, I might go back in chapter 50. In 15th chapter, the 55th verse. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death seems to win, but where is the victory? The grave seems to have victory. Where is its victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Death has victory because we fall into sin. Even death does not reign and rule our lives. Yes, God will be with us, even in death, if we walk with him and do not go after wickedness and sinfulness all our days. You see, the poison that's in death that kills us is sin, not death. Why did death come into the world? Because of sin. We don't grasp it. We dread death. We don't dread sin so often. Death does what? Separates the body and the soul. A very unnatural separation. But sin separates the soul from God. Isaiah 59 and the verses 2, number 2 of the 59th chapter of the book of Isaiah. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. What is the great evil? The greatest of evils is sin. Death takes away physical life. And this is dreadful. But sin takes away God. Sin takes away our God and our life, eternal life, if it is not confessed, if it is not forsaken, if it is not repented of. Again, the power of the evil one lies in that he entices and incites and entraps us with sin. The power of Satan, the evil one, is that he causes us to walk in sin. Now, why is sin so dreadful, so evil? Well, first of all, because it's against God. It's a violation of God's holy will. His holy person, his holy will. It's rebellion. Sin is an expression of our rebellion against God. His person, his law, his kingdom, everything that is God's. There's no small sin. Not when we consider that it is against God that we do this evil in his sight, in his very face, right before him. I shall have no other gods before me, in my face. If you have another God, it will be right in his face. You can't hide it. He knows it all. Every action, every word, every thought. He cannot hide it. God knows everything. Nothing can be hid from God. Nothing hid from him. Sin is evil, not only because it's against God, which it is, first of all, but because it enslaves. See, sin binds us into slavery. We have become the slaves of sin when we do sin. We don't think we are, but we are. We think we can quit anytime we want to quit. You cannot quit anytime you want to quit. You cannot. You will not. You will go on as the slave of sin if you start down that road. Who can deliver you? Only God. Deliver us from the evil. Slaves, we have been made by our sin, and it's the worst master there is. Oh, you think it'll give you pleasure? You think it'll give you what you want? It will not. It is deceptive, deceitful, above all things, and desperately wicked our hearts are. This is why we sin. But not only enslaves and binds us, but sin is filthy. You don't think so? God's word is clear. Chapter 14 of the book of Psalms in the third verse, where we read, too many references, I think. Maybe I should not have given so many, but forgive me. Chapter 14, and the verse is number 3. And they're all gone aside. They're all together filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. For all the workers of iniquity. Have no knowledge. It asks as a question, but it could be a statement. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? All the workers of iniquity don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're being led, where they're being carried. Such a filthy thing. Despicable, vile, filthy, like dung all over you. It's compared in the New Testament to the vomit of dogs. In other places, it's a plague. That is a disease. In another place under the Old Testament, it's called like a minstrel's cloth, a minstrel's rag, a woman's filthy, bloody minstrel's period, we call it. Other places, it's a running sore. Not just a sore, but a sore that's always running. Filthy. Pussy. Gangrene. Rotten flesh, it's called. From the sole of their feet to the top of their head. Putrefying sores. That's what sin is. Sin kills, you see, not only the body, but the soul. And yet we can never comprehend how evil sin is until we begin to see what was necessary for it to be cured, for God to cure this foul thing called sin. You see, the only cure for your sin is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Wow. Have you ever thought of it? I'm sure you must have. But hear it again from Peter, chapter 1. I could read many places. I will confine myself. The first epistle of Peter and the first chapter. And verse 18 and 19. Then chapter 2 and verse 24. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Redeemed by the lamb without blemish and without spot. And then the 24th verse of the second chapter of the same epistle of 1 Peter, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Had there been some other way, surely God would have found it. He would not have given his only begotten to death. If sin could be purged, could be cured in some other way. But there was no other way. Christ must die, or sinners must perish forever. In Gethsemane, Christ cried out. What did he cry out? Some other way. Look, the Son of God crying out. Can there be some other way? There was no other way. So radical, so prevailing, so destructive is sin that your sin, my sin, our sin nailed Christ to the cross. You did it. I did it. We did it. Kill the eternal Son of the Father, our sin. That is how evil sin is. We cannot grasp it. It's the worst of all evils. Don't we have reason to pray, deliver me from the evil? So the evil from which we are crying out for deliverance is nothing more or less than the evil of sin. Who will deliver us? Only one can deliver us. We cannot be delivered from sin, not without the power of God and the blood of Christ. Now, this is because the lure of the world is so strong and appealing. It's because the flesh is so weak and deceitful and promotes evil, the flesh does. It's because the evil one, the devil, Satan, is so subtle and cruel and desirous to trick us by his wiles and to entrap us and ensnare us in his lies, first of all, and then in his actions as well. He's even made himself into an angel of light. Oh, you think he's wonderful. You look at the devil and you admire him. Unless you've been exposed to God's word that reveals who the devil is. And you follow the devil and you call it good, an angel of light. Don't you see what God is telling you in his word? Only divine power can deliver any of us from the evil of our sin. Nothing else can do it. Who will deliver me? Only God in Christ. But the divine power can deliver from the evil. And how does our Father deliver us from the greatest of all evils? How can you and I be delivered? How does he do it? The best security against sin is not to be tempted. Lead us not into temptation, we beg. So this is why we are taught to pray. Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation. But we are often tempted. So then we pray, deliver us from the evil. Now, in delivering us, God often restrains evil and subdues evil. The devil, the flesh, and the world are subdued and restrained by God. God put the devil on a leash, somebody said. Maybe not the best figure, but in other words, he's limited the power of the devil. He's put boundaries upon the devil. You may go this far, you may go no farther, but he may go as far as God allows. And we don't know where it is that he allows. Maybe you think you do, you don't. Don't you play. Don't you think you can trivialize sin and the devil. So he places restraints on evil in the world. If evil were not restrained, subdued, so to speak, it would be like it was in the days of Noah, when every man only did evil. Wow. But God will restrain the world. And God will also restrain us to keep us from going headlong into sin. He will hold us back, as it were, put a leash upon us in some way. For our flesh has that tendency to yield, to refuse to do the right thing, even after we've been pardoned of all our sins, even when we know who Jesus is, that he died for me and for my sin. So tricky is our flesh and sin. But not only is there restraint from God, not only does he subdue sin in us and in the world and in the devil and in the flesh, but God gives large and fresh supplies of grace, blessing the means of grace that he's appointed so that we come to faith continually, daily, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and turn from sin, repent of sin daily, every day, not once, it's over, never. Faith is a constant work, continual action. Repentance is daily, just like faith. We believe every day, or we don't believe. Did you believe today? So faith in God's grace enables us to overcome the world and the wicked one and our own flesh. Only by that power in the blood of Jesus, by faith in the Lord Jesus, can we resist and be triumphant. Well, again, Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, I read here God's own word. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of grace, who hath called us unto his eternal life, eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Resist in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, is that the only thing? No. We could read so many passages. I'll read simply Luke chapter 22, the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and the verses 22 and verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Who is he talking to? Talking to the apostle Peter, Simon. Maybe I should go back. And the Lord said unto Simon, 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 behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter speaks, Lord, I'm ready to die for you. Let them take my life. I will never deny you. Maybe you feel that way. Oh, dear friend, if Peter could fall, surely you can fall into temptation and succumb to its lure. But Christ has prayed for us. There is grace in our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of faith that gives us power. The blood is power. Grace is power. Maybe you don't think so, but that's what grace could be translated. Anytime you see the word grace in all of the scriptures, you could use the word power. It is the power of God unto salvation. Power. Power in the blood. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, where we read, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You will come to be victorious through faith. Pray that God would give you faith. The faith that will overcome, will free you. Now, the fear of God is another concept, not foreign to faith, I don't think, but a little different look at it. There's more of the idea of reverence, of awe, of humility in this word, the fear of God. But it is the grace of God that gives fear, holy fear, to our souls, and that will keep you and keep you from sinning. Should I read Proverbs chapter 14? Many places could be read. I read only one, chapter 14 of the book of Proverbs, and the book and the verse is 27. Struggling to find these passages, I'm sorry. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. What will cause you to depart from the snares of death? What will give you life like a fountain of flowing water? The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of the devil. Are you afraid to sin? Do you fear sin? Do you fear it because it offends God, transgresses his word, himself, his commands, his law, his kingdom, everything that's God's is offended by sin. You see, the fear of the Lord is clean, converting the soul. And then we can read in other places as well, like 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, very clear passage from Second Epistle to the Corinthians, the 7th chapter. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Maybe you think fear is something you want to avoid. No, you want to welcome it. You want to ask for it. You want to produce it or ask God to produce it. You cannot do it, but pray that God would give you faith, the fear of the Lord. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Sin is committed where there's no fear of God. Romans chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. These are the sinners who go on in their way. They haven't known the peace of God. Nothing about the peace of God have they ever known, because there's no fear of God before their eyes. Blazing. Blatant sinners. Now, nothing drives out sin more than the love of God. Now, this is part of the grace of God, to give us his love in our Lord Jesus Christ through his blood shed on the cross, to make peace with God and to shower upon us his love. Now, two affections cannot fill the same heart at the same moment. You will either love the one or you'll hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Do you love God? I hope you're always loving God, always going to him in love. Not to the devil, not to the world, not to any other thing, but to God and loving him. And knowing his love for you. So if the heart is filled with God's love, there will be no room for the love of the world, or the love of the devil, or the love of the flesh. You cannot have both. He will cast out his love, every other love, and set you free. You will never fear again. Never fear again when you know the love of God. Strange that it was prayed this night in the prayer. Maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't. The sermon title of Thomas Chalmers, The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. What is it saying? It's an entire sermon, almost in one title. It's saying that there is something that expels. There's power to expel sin when you have a new love, a new affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is it that fills your heart? Is it the love of God? Pray that God would fill you with love, love to him, love for him. Pray for faith to overcome, for fear to restrain, love to fill your heart full, your whole heart, in love with him. We cannot deliver ourselves. Oh, no. Oh, you think you can? Oh, dear, you've never known what we're talking about. You cannot, and you know it, if you're a believer. Only God in Christ can deliver us. You can't deliver yourselves. We cannot deliver ourselves. The Virgin Mary can't deliver us. The saints can't deliver us. Nothing can deliver us. No one can deliver us. but Christ Jesus, the Lord. So Christ teaches us to ask our Heavenly Father, deliver us from the evil. And He will. When you're tempted and you yield, when you fall into sin, He will raise you up. Put you back on your feet. Look to Him in every circumstance. No, not when you're walking with Him only. You must keep looking to Him while you're walking with Him. But in the time that you've fallen away from Him, when you succumb to the temptation and fallen into sin, keep looking to the only one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't run from Him, run to Him. Now, what we pray for, we should practice. So let us keep ourselves from the evil of sin and out of the way of the evil one and all of his allurements. And we can do that by walking by faith in the path of righteousness by the power of God through the blood of Jesus. Now stay busy with your vocation. Don't be idle. That's a snare of the devil. Idleness. Many things snare us. Maybe you don't think of idleness as a snare. It's a terrible snare. Stay busy with the Lord's work, with your occupation or whatever God has given you in this life to do. But have you gotten too close to the fire sometimes and burst into flame before you knew it? And you burned with sin? And you ran from God? But run to God. Run through the Lord Jesus Christ to the Father. He will receive you. All who will come. Any who will come. Cry out that He would pluck you like a brand out of the burning, lest you perish in your sin. Lest we perish together in our sin. You see, that was a prayer for us, not only for you, but for others as well. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil. There's no room here for self-righteousness, to condemn others by your attitudes. Let him who let him who thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. When you've been overcome, don't you despair. Do not think that you're not a Christian. Not if you come in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just because the evil one has exercised his allurements more powerfully than you could resist. Know that the devil is working hardest on God's children, not on his own. They already belong to him. He doesn't work on them so much as he works on the children of God, tempting them, alluring them, bringing them down. If he can, and he can quite often. You may have felt it. You may have known it. You may have burst into flames. But it's because you're God's beloved. Because he loves you. He wants to defeat God. And he will defeat him because he cannot reach God, you see, but he can reach the people of God. So he will work on you and on me. Always working on us. Be aware of it. Don't be ignorant of his devices. They're not something you should be ever ignorant of. He aims so many arrows at you because he wants to hit God. He can't get to God, but he can hit you. But shortly you will tread the devil under your feet, says the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 16, and verse 20. Let me read to you again one more passage at least. Romans 16, particularly the 20th verse, I will read. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. He doesn't win. God wins. Pray your Father will deliver you. And he will. When you cry to him, he never says no. And he cannot be defeated. And you cannot be defeated when you're looking to him, to God alone, and Christ alone. Do you pray more to be delivered from sin or from the diseases that you felt? Oh, I didn't say you shouldn't be praying that God might deliver you from some plague, some disease, some terrible thing that you may have felt and suffered. But what is the thing you want most to be delivered from? Do you pray most for it? More than anything else? The Christian's greatest concern is his greatest evil, sin. Is it your greatest concern? Surely it is. It's your most best moment. Yes, you are a Christian. Fall down before him, confessing him. I believe. Help mine unbelief. Deliver me from the evil. Deliver us from evil. Pray like Jesus taught you to pray. Oh, wow. What prayer. There's more there than anyone could even express. This sermon hardly touched on it. Read the whole of Scripture. Look in faith to the Lord Jesus every day, every part of every day. He will deliver you. Let us stand together. Hear us, Father, when we cry. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. May we constantly pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Not as we imagine and think we should pray, but as we're taught and told to pray. We ask this for your praise and your glory. May we give it all to you. May we take none of the glory to ourselves. We're so prone to want to take it and hide, as it were, and say, we did it. We didn't do anything. Jesus did it all. May we come in faith to him. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.